Welcome to Smashville Live Brewhouse South. How are we doing this evening? That's what I like to hear. Welcome to the show. This is, of course, Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Yeehaw's game day specials every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. My name is Braden Gall. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, and I have the pleasure of sitting next to former captain of the Nashville Predators, Mike Fisher. Mike, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
Are you now? Listen, I know captain is sort of a term that does change hands over time. Like, I always wondered about this because you're not really a former Predator. You're sort of always a Predator. Are you okay with former captain? Are you okay with former Predator? Or should you just be always Predator, Mike Fisher? Like, how do you want to be introduced?
I'll answer to anything. So, former's fine. It doesn't. People still call me Cap every once in a while. Like, whatever. It's funny. Like, I never really heard. Well, not that I was a captain, but I never heard it up in Canada. But a lot of people down here, especially Preds fans, are just hey captain, and I never heard it. You know, obviously I wasn't a captain, but you know, Alfredson was my captain for years.
Sure.
I don't think I heard anyone call him captain. But it's just Elfie. You know?
Is there any reason for that?
I don't know. I think it's a respect thing. It's a Southern, maybe. I don't know. But
well, you're down here now. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I don't mind it. It's just, you know,
I always wonder,
weird,
you know,
to get used to.
I always wonder about, like, former Heisman Trophy winner. I'm like, well, you're sort of always a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Like, former Predator, you're always a Predator. So I just always am curious about that. How about forever Predator Mike Fisher? we can go with that.
Yeah.
So you, how is retirement treating you, man? How's it been?
It's been good. Just got back Friday. Been mostly gone last couple months. Had a little bit of break on tour this summer, and then we toured May, June as well. So just life on the road with our two sons and trying to navigate that. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, obviously, for my wife. With, you know,
sure,
she was three months pregnant, breastfeeding. Up 2-3 times a night doing four shows, and it's like, how in the world do you do this? But I try to help out the best I can. But it's good to be back. I'm doing lots of stuff. I'm busier than I kind of thought I'd be, but I love it. I love being able to be more flexible with family and obviously, you know, catching deer is kind of a side project that's fun. I love to hunt and fish. I love hanging out with friends and living on the farm. We moved about a year ago to south of here on the farm, and there's always stuff to do.
A lot of good farmland out that direction, yeah. No question about it. You and Jeff Fisher hanging out, hanging out. So I just am curious, has there been a moment for you at all, now that you're removed from the game more than a season, you know so many of those guys that are in that locker room, it's obviously the same nucleus of guys that have been there. Has there been a moment for you at all where you are watching the team or watching the game or just kind of, you know, tracking it or anything where it clicked for you? Because I know there's always a welcome to the NHL moment when you get to the league.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a sort of moment for you? Because, like, where was the moment for you where it set in? Like, oh, holy cow, this chapter's done. I'm on to the new chapter.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of got a taste when I retired first time, and it was like I got a little bit of taste, you know. And then I didn't really ever think I'd come back, and I did, and I loved it. I'm so glad I did it. So that was a bit of a tester, but. There's lots of parts you miss about the game, obviously, and you know, the guys, I still see some of them periodically, but I definitely I do like being retired. I have some other passions, like the outdoors, and it was really tough managing both of our schedules, my wife and mine, with our family, and so that's I'm definitely grateful now I'm able to be at home a little bit more. So
and if anybody follows you on Instagram, which I think like there's like a million people doing, then they've seen you talk about your wife and the job that she does with the kids and all the stuff. You just already alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go ahead and dive in then. Just how different has it been, you know, experiencing that for that whole world,
mm-hmm,
sort of firsthand? It's not like you didn't know about it or weren't a part, mm-hmm, of it or didn't live through it, but there's a different perspective. Is there a different perspective now?
Yeah, I think especially with kids, you know, I'd gone out, and usually my limit on tour without kids was like a week, and I'm like, hey, I get this. Honey, I love you, but I need to just do something because it's not easy. But with kids, for me, it kind of gave me, you know, different kind of job. So I'm trying to find any zoo possible. I'm trying to find stuff for my 4-year-old to do. But I definitely appreciated you know, the job, it's not easy for her being on the road and traveling and going out and doing what she does and still being a mom at the same time. So, but we, you know, we make a pretty good team, and that's what it takes. So,
well, it's like you said, again, it's a spectacular thing when you see somebody, not just anybody out there doing a job and taking care of kids and the grind that she goes through, the grind used to go through as a player and having the opportunity to be around now. I can't imagine, you know, what that would feel like. Just, hey, I get to just be in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as someone who has two young children under four, kind of like yourself, the zone sometimes always isn't as glamorous as you think it is.
Oh, no.
but it is so unbelievably rewarding, as I'm sure you know.
No doubt. Yeah, there's something about being a dad. It's definitely hard to beat, but it teaches you a lot about yourself, teaches you a lot about patience. I pray for patience and wisdom all the time, but there's so many awesome moments that it's so much fun.
Mike Fisher joining us here, of course, on Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South Braden Gall. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, and you mentioned how busy you are now, and so let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. We'll get to the Preds and the power play and how good it is, and you know, Matt Duchene, and we'll get to all that stuff and how great Pekka is, because I'm sure you got a few stories from Pekka in practice, especially as we hear about his epic practice work ethic and all that stuff. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But you get out of the league, and you know, not only are you busy with family, but you've launched an apparel company.
Mm-hmm.
You've now got a celebrity clay shooting tournament. Of course, the Catching Deer's Mike Fisher celebrity clay shoot coming up here just a little while. So let everybody know kind of what you're doing and go, plug away, my friend.
Yeah, well, the first of all, the clay shoot's coming up on November 18th, and I really enjoyed working with the Preds Foundation when I was a player, and they do such an unbelievable job of putting on events. You look at so many of the events they put on through the year, and they connect players with their passions to help in the community. They're unbelievable. So we just kind of got together and thought it'd be cool to do this event, and I love to shoot. I love to shoot animals and clay targets, and so this is one event that my wife will come to because doesn't involve shooting animals. So, but anyway, I thought it was, you know, I've been a part of some shoots over there at the Nashville Gun Club. That's where it is, and they do a great job, and it's a fun event. It's basically like golf with guns.
So that's what I was going to ask. Is take sort of the, if you're an avid hunter, you clearly understand what all the things that you do, and you know, take sort of the beginner through what this event will look like.
You'll be on a golf cart with the over-under shotgun, and there's different stations. There's 18 or 20, I think, and you'll go to a station, and they're throwers. You're going to throw the clay targets, and some are high, low. Different stations present you with different targets, and you're going to do 100 shots, and then you're going to have a score out of 100. So first-timers, if you got like a 50, that would be pretty good. But, I've seen, you know, some in the high 90s, even 100, like the pros.
Like never
obviously.
Missed.
Never missed, yeah. Now,
where do you fall?
I think the best I've done was maybe high 80s. But I'm okay. I've shot enough, but definitely not a pro. That would have been, you know, really, really good round for me. But so you just go station to station, keep your score. You're on a team, and your team keeps kind of score. And it's competitive, but at the same time, it's you know, there's some people that aren't going to have a lot of experience, which is fine. It's about, you know, you're still going to make some noise and have some fun. So.
Loud noises. We all love that. And all the proceeds, again, will benefit the Preds Foundation.
Preds track. Foundation, yeah.
So I know you said, and we'll get to this in a second as well, how you just skated with JP just a little while ago. We had JP Dumont on just a few weeks ago, and it was interesting listening to him talk about how he and his wife settled on Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
He was given sort of the contract, and they came here. He said his wife within 3 months was like, man, this is where we're going to be. I don't care where else you go in your career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what team you're going to play for or where you're going to. I think he played 1 year overseas after he retired from the NHL. But it was like instantaneous. It was the connection with the organization and the city and the community and all these great Preds fans out here. Sort of for you, when you got here, you know, you're from Canada. You've played your entire life basically in Canada. You play for Ottawa. You go to a cup, all this stuff. When you get here, how fast did it click for you as it pertains to the organization, because you talk about how much the Preds have meant to you and the and just sort of the community work that they do?
Well, I knew kind of the city. I'd spent a little bit of time in the summers and the off season dating Carrie, and then even being married, we were kind of going back and forth. But I've always loved Nashville. I love visiting as a player, and coming here is one of a lot of guys' favorite spots. And so we knew early on, and even dating my wife at times, she'll still tell us. I don't remember. She's like, I asked you, how attached are you to Canada? Because she wasn't going to live up there. But we love it. This is home. We got so many good friends and people, and it's a great place to raise a family. And I'm just fortunate I got to play here for 7-8 years.
So you weren't the one who went upstairs to Ottawa and said, "Hey, man, but I'm married. She's down. Can you trade me to Nashville?"
No.
That wasn't you.
No. People thought I did though. After that? They're like, "Oh, you have a lot of power." Yeah, people thought I did. I never asked for a trade at all. And actually, the GM a few months before was like, "I'm not going to trade you." And then we lost 11 in a row, and then he called me in his office and was like, "I got good news and bad news." Good news bad news first is you got traded and your heart sinks. You're like, oh no. And we'd just been married for 6 months. And then good news
is the easiest portion of marriage.
The good news is you're going to Nashville. And I was like, oh. And then the owner called me, I think the next day. He's like, "I just wanted you to go be with your wife." Like, what owner does that?
No, yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, I was like, holy cow.
That's an amazing story. So. Listen, the Celebrity Clay Shoot coming up in just a few weeks. That benefits the Natural Players Foundation. Again, catchanddeers.com is the website for the apparel company, and all that good stuff there. And again, you go to the Preds website, and you'll find it doesn't sound like there's a lot of space left.
No, I think we may have one team left.
One team, all right. So
you can check it out.
If you want to sign up now, you got about 10 seconds to go do that. But otherwise, it's going to be a great event, and it's cool to see how many people. The way Nashville helps out its own is just an amazing part of the city. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick little break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little hockey, if you don't mind that. Mm-hmm. We'll branch out and talk about something you're not doing anymore, which is hockey. So we'll do that when we come back. Mike Fisher here, of course, hanging out on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Smashville Live at Brewhouse South. Let me hear you, Preds fans. There you go. Brought to you by our great sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Yeehaw has game day specials every Preds game. Here at Brewhouse South, we will have some tickets to give away here coming up in just a few segments. Don't go anywhere, folks. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. This is Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South. Let me hear you, Preds fans. That's right. You can clap. It's okay. It's okay. This is a bar. We're having fun. Mike Fisher's here. Braden Gall here on Smashville Live. Brought to you, of course, by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Yeehaw has game day specials every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. Of course, we will give away tickets. Mike, if you don't mind pulling out a name here in a couple of minutes, we will draw a lucky winner, and they will get a couple of tickets to the upcoming Preds game against Vancouver on November 21st, so we'll do that. Of course, those tickets also brought to you by the great folks at New Amsterdam Vodka. Along those lines, make sure you check out catchanddeers.com, of course, as well as the Mike Fisher Celebrity Clay Shoot coming up in just a couple of weeks. Mike, let's talk a little hockey here first. And one of the questions, a guy of your experience, being a captain, there's so many people in so many walks of life that work on a team, right? And you played on teams your entire career. You became a captain. What is the key to great leadership? Try to explain to people what that means and what it looks like. Mm-hmm. What does leadership look like to you?
Well, I think it's not just wearing a letter. It's coaches are can be good leaders. It starts from the top. But I think I tell people, and I don't want to talk about myself, but I'll talk about a good coach. That he cares about you, and that he's going to try to inspire you to be the best you can be on the ice, off the ice. So I think it's not for me. The best coaches aren't X's and O's. They're those coaches that care about you away from the rink. They're not just trying to get something from you at the rink, but they actually care about you and they inspire you and they try to get the best out of you and are good communicators. So translate that to being a captain, it's really the same. It's trying to get the best, setting that example through your work ethic, making sure everyone on that team feels important regardless of their role, because it's easy for some guys not to, but communicating is really good. it has to be, I think, you know, you got to be communicating the best you can with different players. So I didn't always do that well, but that was kind of the goal. And, you know, I've had a lot of good leaders around me, and I don't even know if I really like the word leader that well, but anyway.
Why do you think, you said, you know, the communication, I mean, trust me, I'm married, so communication, always a topic.
This is a perfect parallel.
Always a topic.
Exactly.
I just am curious sort of why you felt that way, because, again, I'd love to ask you about Roman Josi, and we'll find out your thoughts on him, which, you know, it's hard to look directly at him, you know, because he stares at you, and he's so good-looking. It's just very difficult. So we'll find out about his leadership skills. But yeah, the communication thing, why did you think that you found that difficult for you personally?
Well, I think, you know, guys don't always like to communicate well in different groups. And, you know, I look at who's a good communicator would be Coach Laviolette. He's unbelievable. So I think it's gotten better as I've gotten older. There's no question.
Sure.
I'm a little bit on the quiet side. And you can still lead fine. And you don't have to communicate a lot to communicate well. And you don't always have to be talking. But when you do, it has to be, you know, for me it was a lot trying to be over positive, but you still have to be realistic, but it's try to be positive even in those situations. And
it's that push and pull, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why Roman's a positive guy too, and he's really well liked. He's such a good guy, and he's, you know, I wasn't a captain at, he's 28 or 29, you know, and I was later in my career, so I had a big advantage. But Yossi's done a great job. Yeah. He's an unbelievable player. He's a good leader, and he's a really good person. And everyone in that locker room loves Roman Josi, and that's why he's a captain.
What makes Peter Laviolette so good at communicating? Because I think even he will tell you, and I've talked to him about this before in the past, you know, in his career, he's not always been as maybe, I don't know what the right word is, I don't want to say soft-spoken because he's clearly not that, mm-hmm. but I think he's even evolved as a coach from his time, you know, whether it was Carolina or Philly, you know, maybe more aggressive in his style of communication. I think he'll tell you today that he's a little bit more laid back and a little bit more, I'm going to learn how to push and pull the mm-hmm. levers and push the buttons. What made him so good at that when you played for him?
Well, he's intelligent, obviously. He knows when to do that, when we needed to be motivated, and he's a good storyteller. He can parallel stories with getting you want to run through that wall, and I love that as a player, like, because I'm emotional, you know. So he's funny too when he needed to be. So he kind of played that line of, you know, he's fair, he's stern, and he's, you know, he's very smart, but he's a really good communicator and a good motivator. He knows how to motivate players, and that's what I really loved about him.
Well, and he's been doing it for a long, long time, and he's got, as you might say, skins on the wall. He's got plenty of those of the ring and trips to the championship. And take us back to that locker room. Every locker room is different. Every team, every year is different. They all have their own unique personality. What made that particular locker room that made it to the Cup final? Obviously, didn't end the way you guys wanted to, but what made that locker room, you know, what was the thing that made it tick, that made it go, that all of a sudden took you guys from an 8 seed to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I think, without sounding too cliche, because you hear it all the time, and you'll hear it from St. Louis last year, was just belief. And it grew. You know, we were facing Chicago, who everyone said we didn't have a chance. But at the end of the year, we were feeling really good about our team. And we had meetings before, and it was like, we are going to beat this team. And there was no doubts. If you go in with doubts and you're like, well, let's see how game went, you're done. You're done. And we didn't have any of those doubts. And we swept them. And it was like, see? And then it just, as it grows, that it's like no one's going to stop us. And obviously Pittsburgh did. But we had that feeling, which you need if you're going to go far. It's like, it doesn't matter. We're going to run through this team. And that's the mentality. And you could just sense it in guys that it just, next round, it was just, and it just, you know, inside a locker room, you can look in someone's eyes and you can see doubt or you can see belief. And that's, you know, end of the day, that's huge.
Is that, you know, because obviously you went with Ottawa with a bunch of you know, extraordinarily talented guys on that squad. Is it just that simple that you felt that same vibe in that group, in that room, as you did with this particular team? And do you, again, I'm not trying to, like, hey, you didn't feel it with this team. That's not what I'm trying to get at here. I'm just curious, you know, in a moment of honesty, do players look at themselves and they know, like, hey, this, we're not on the right page right here? Or, like you said, there's no question, there's no doubt.
Well, there's obviously ebbs and flows, but it, overall, you know, a lot of it, you know, prep through the season and how you respond to being down 3-0, coming back. Those moments throughout the season build that belief, and you've, you know, those all help because that's in the memory bank, and obviously that, you know, even being down one or two games, it's a perspective and it's a belief, and that's kind of what it takes. But Ottawa, we probably had a more talented team in Ottawa, and we lost in five or whatever, but the, you know, we obviously lost Fiala and Johansson in the finals, but
you were in perfect shape too, by the way.
Well, I was slightly concussed, but that whole, the team, we felt so much like a team that that was really cool.
Well, and Pekka, of course, is still wanted, I think, in Chicago after game one. I think there's still a warrant out for his arrest, actually, for the game he stole up there in game one in that series. And then it was after that, it was just all, you know, you got, now it wasn't, I would say, smooth sailing, like you said, with Fiala injuries, just one of those moments that every Preds fan just has an image of their head, and I'm sure players have a totally different perspective of that, but a bizarre, and then the Johansson injury is just, like, those are two of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's the way it goes sometimes. What do you do? But
Do you mind talking about how you felt throughout that whole thing? I don't know how much detail you care to go into. Certainly, we respect you know your own personal experiences, but I don't know if the fans truly know how much you went through physically in that series. You're one of the hardest hitters on the team. You know, you're the leader, and you didn't step on the ice. Not many players step on the ice 100% in the playoffs ever.
Yeah,
so
there's always.
I don't know how much you care to go into that.
Yeah, I mean, I got a concussion in game six against Anaheim, so I wasn't sure if I was going to be back for game one of the finals. No, six. It might have been game seven or five, maybe.
Because I was
might have been game five.
I was going to ask what was the plane flight like.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Holy cow!
Had a concussion.
That's insane, folks. I hope you guys are hearing what he's saying now.
But no, I was back for game one, and I actually felt fine. I've been fortunate in my career to only miss a few games. So, but so many players go through lots of different stuff, and that's just kind of part of it. So,
absolutely. I remember going into the locker room after the loss, and just if people don't see what you guys go through at the end of a long playoff run after 82 games in a preseason, like everybody's eyes are sunken in there. It's a complete, you know, marathon war. Like it's unlike any other sport. And I think that's what separates the having to win 16 games on the ice like that. I just think it's, if fans don't ever get a chance to see that part of it, it's so intense.
Yeah, it is. That's what makes it so, you love being in the playoffs because it's so hard, but that's as an athlete and it's team, like it's the ultimate team sport.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan Ellis on the ice against the Penguins in game six, I mean, he's like barely on one leg.
It
took him almost a year and a half to come back. It's crazy. So I tell you what, we'll move on from that and we'll talk a little bit more about this team because this team's off to an unbelievable start. Pekka Rinne's on the best start that any Predators goaltender has been on in the history of the franchise. We'll get your thoughts on how Pekka's playing and how the team looks so far. Mike Fisher hanging out here with us at Smashville Live at Brewhouse South. Brought to you, of course, by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Yeehaw's game day specials every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. Of course, we'll give away some tickets to a Preds game coming up in just a few segments. Mike Fisher, everybody, let's give him a round of applause. There you go. We'll be right back. This is Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. This is Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South. Ooh, that was a good one. I like that. Mike Fisher, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, as well as Yeehaw Brewing Company.
Yeehaw has game day specials every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. And, of course, we'll give away some tickets coming up next segment to the November 21st game on Thursday against Vancouver, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And this is the portion of the program where we turn the microphone over to the Preds fans, the wonderful fans out there that have shown up tonight, mostly 99% for you, Mike. I'll take like a half a percent. And also Gina from Promotions. You show up to see her as well. So, Gina, who do you have for us here?
I have Eloise from Murfreesboro.
Hi. Thank you for meeting us. I wanted to let you know that I have a friend that is a big fan of yours that came in 2017 during the playoffs to see you play. Her name is Heather, and she's a cystic fibrosis patient. She's at Duke right now waiting on her second double lung transplant. And I just wonder if you would say hi to Heather and give her a shout out.
Sure. Hey, Heather, if you're listening, definitely thinking about you. And I'll add you to my prayer list tonight. So hope everything goes well. And sorry you couldn't be here. So,
Gina, where are we headed to next?
We have Ashlyn. She comes like every week, and she's from Murfreesboro. Big fan.
She gets here early too, folks. If you want to get tickets,
I think she got here at what, 12 today?
Yeah, if you
like,
want
committed.
Yeah, this is a Smashville Live
it's
expert
amazing.
Right here.
So, my question is, if you could play with any player, past or present, in the whole NHL, who would it be and why?
It would be Wayne Gretzky. He was my favorite player growing up, and I missed him by. He retired in '98, and I started in '99, so I missed him by a year. So almost to play against him, obviously, but yeah, he was always my favorite player. So
he was huge on baseball, right? Did he grow up loving baseball his entire life? And he didn't play hockey in the off season. Do you? I know you got two young boys. Like, do you have any thoughts on the year round?
Well,
modern sort of way kids are growing up. Playing?
I do. I played summer hockey all the time, but I don't know that I would recommend it to my sons. I did play some baseball, and I loved it. And a lot of my hockey buddies always played lacrosse. Lacrosse was big in my hometown. But I just wanted to play hockey. And but if they want to play hockey all year round, that's fine. But I think other sports are really, really good. I mean, definitely. And, yeah, Wayne was like that.
Get him doing
Wayne was
stuff.
Wayne was a freak of nature. I mean, he just – he wouldn't even have to train, and he was – ridiculous.
No one's going to touch those numbers ever again. Gina from Promotions, who we got?
We have another regular, Sarah from Hermitage. She was here last week. She's here every week, so another big fan.
All right, so I'm sure as you were coming up in your playing career, you were compared to other players. So as you got further along in your career and they started comparing other players to you, what did that feel like?
Kind of felt a little weird, I guess. made me feel old. Yeah, there's actually kind of a funny story, but when I played in Ottawa, we'd have, like you'll see at the Preds games, little kids will be beside you during the anthem. So they're, this big, and it's kind of cool. You'll slap them on the pads and say hey, and then they go off. Well, it was probably about 8 years ago, a guy got drafted to Ottawa. His name's Cody Ceci. When he got drafted, it showed him a picture of me with him beside, and little Ceci. Then he was drafted. We played against each other. It was just kind of one of those moments where you're feeling old for sure, but it was kind of cool. So,
Is he like 11 or something?
When he would have been, 10 or 11. And then he got drafted at 8, so it was 10 years later. And but
I would take that as an honor that you played that many games.
You got to look
at it that way.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So we do appreciate all the great Preds fans who come out each and every week here at Smashville Live at Brewhouse South, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Of course, Yeehaw has game day specials every single Preds game right here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. So Pecorine is off to the best start of any Predators goal, not just his career, which has been an amazing career, but any Predators goaltender in history. I think he's the oldest at 36. I think he just turned 37. He's got the oldest point streak to ever start a season in NHL history at 37 years old. 10-0-2 to start the year. Just a fantastic start. And from what I've always learned and known about him is his work ethic at practice. He will make you, as a skater, just bust your tail to try to score goals in practice, and that's different from other goaltenders. What was your experience like with Pecorine and his work ethic and practice? How did it make you better?
Well, he got no free goals, that's for sure, because I mean, sometimes you almost, like, he'd play a lot of games. Not, you know, they've kind of toned him back a little bit because
sure.
Juicy's, you know, he's incredible too, and that kid works just like Pekka. But, you know, sometimes, like, we'd have skates, and you kind of want him to rest a little bit. He can't. He's so competitive, and he works so hard. But that's why, I mean, as a goalie, it's huge, and that's how he led, and that's how he leads. And he's such an incredible, humble person, and you love seeing him do so well because he's, I mean, when I saw him, I was at the game on Saturday and saw him, and I was like, man, you look like you're 26. Like, he just turned 37.
Smoothies is what it is.
But no, he works so hard and he's focused, and looks like he's going to play a bunch more years.
It's
so
unbelievable.
It's really awesome to see.
You mentioned UC Saros there as well. Just, did you see it from the beginning? Because, again, as a novice looking at the game, you just see his movements, and they're so compact and mm-hmm. concise. Like, everything he does in the crease is so just quick and tight. There's mm-hmm. no wasted movement with him. Could you guys see how good he was right out of the gate when he came up and was kind of yo-yoing back and forth with Milwaukee?
Pretty early. I mean, you look at him and he's, you know, he's not a big goaltender like Pekka, and you're like, you know, getting excited in practice, and all of a sudden, I remember one practice, I don't think, and I think I was out an injury, and it was early on, and he'd been called up, and I'm doing all these drills, and I went forever, and I had a lot of shots, and I never scored on him. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It looks like there's tons of room, but the way he moves
right,
is
so
unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he's efficient in the way he moves too. But I think what he can be a Vezina Trophy candidate one day for sure.
Yeah, he's I don't know about,
like,
again, Pekka. As a novice, you know, amateur, I looked at it and I just go, man, this guy's the skill set is just so obvious,
mm-hmm.
And he's got such a great relationship with Pekka, which I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that. Just, it seems like an unusual, just serendipitous, right? That they end up with the backgrounds and the mm-hmm. and sort of the history that they both have, and to have him sort of take him under his wing. And, you know, in the NFL, you don't see quarterbacks do that for their predecessor. Like, you mm-hmm. don't see a quarterback teaching a guy to take his job. You know, like, that's mm-hmm. not what happens in other sports.
Yeah, and I think it's good, too, that Juice is so good, but Pekka handles it so well. And he's a perfect guy to be a backup for, because he's going to be cheering for you, and not a lot of guys do. I know kind of some of the – there can be some, you know, just some different relationships with backups, and especially when there's pressure. But Pekka's that guy that's going to cheer him on regardless, and that's what you need. So.
Yeah, it's a big-time sport. A lot of ego involved. There's no question about mm-hmm. that, and it can be difficult. And I've always viewed that as a pretty special relationship. The way, you know, again, a lot with this whole entire organization, I think we talk about it all the time with – not just their relationship with the community, but, you know, Roman being the captain and being as young as he is and as sort of mature as he is at that age. Again, it feels like a group that is as tightly knit and as, you know, again, it's what led you guys to the cup.
Yeah.
Or to the final.
Yeah, and you talk to a lot of guys that come from different teams, because I came from Ottawa, so that was one. We had a pretty good group, but you really – and I knew how special this group is, leadership, everything. And I mean, like, top management, coaches, that kind of leadership.
Sure.
But the whole group in general, that breeds the culture below too.
Sure.
So, but everyone that comes to play here from different teams are like, oh, this is a lot different in a good way, though.
And they never leave.
You know?
And
yeah.
And they don't want to leave. What was your first conversation like with David Poile? Do you have a memory of that moment?
No, I don't remember. My brain... Like, sometimes, like, it's different hockey brains. Like, yours is probably way better than mine. But, I'll have teammates that are like, you remember in 2008, second round, that – I'm like, no. I only remember the 2 years I went to the Cup.
But everything else you
put down. But it's – so, my brain doesn't really work like that. But that being said, I have only good memories of David. I mean, we have had a great relationship, and he's done such a good job for a long time, and he's – he's unbelievable at what he does.
So if I were to ask you then, along the lines of memory, so I'll put you to the test again one more time, I promise, last one. Do you remember
the sort of experience of breaking into the league? Because I love asking players, and anybody who's been to Smashville Live knows that one of the things I love hearing the most about from players is their experience of sort of accomplishing the dream, which is to play in the NHL the first time. And you get a call, and you're probably in some small town somewhere on a bus riding around, you know, playing in small rinks on an AHL team or junior, wherever you might be, you know, and people come to the league in so many different ways. And you know, do you have a memory of what the call was like and how you got the call? And then do you remember your first shift? Is there anything that, at all that you remember about that first game, that first shift?
I don't remember my first shift. I remember my first game, obviously where it was in Philadelphia, leading up to that. So I was 19. It was my second training camp, and I was having – I remember at 18 I had a better than – I expected, and they did too. And then my second camp had a really good camp, and then Alexei Yashin held out. So there was a spot there. If he didn't, I probably wouldn't have stayed. So he held out, and so anyways, there was a spot, and I didn't know. Yeah, it was game one of the season. So, but I didn't know. I remember signing the contract that I did. It was after an exhibition game in Montreal. The GM come by, and I think that was the last exhibition game. So it was like, okay. But still, I'm like, okay, I think I'm making this team. And it wasn't until maybe the next day where I was like, okay, you're in the lineup. But or you're on the team to start, but it's right. 10 games, right? And but anyway, it wasn't a day or two later where, there's like, okay, you're going to be opening lineup. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Reach out to the family?
But, oh, yeah.
Immediately?
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't remember my first shift, really, but first game was against Lindros LeClaire in Philly, so it was a little intimidating. Terry and Richardson on D, McGillis, Desjardins, I think.
I want to say J.P. Dumont said that his first shift was against the same line.
Oh, yeah.
Against Lindros and those guys, and he's just like, what am I supposed to do with these guys? It's like 6'5". Like, they're all huge.
Oh, yeah, they're,
what am I supposed to do? Man, that's amazing. Hal Gill always tells a story that he almost scored in his own goal on his first shift, and he just tried to clear it around the boards and almost scores on his own goal. So I'll relay Hal Gill's story because he's not here to pick on himself. So I'll pick on him. I've got no problem with that. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll pick out a winner here, give away some tickets when we come back. Mike Fisher, of course, joining us here. A little round of applause. Everybody here at Brewhouse South, Smashville Live, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company are our wonderful sponsors. Yeehaw's game day specials, every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. We'll give away some tickets and more Mike Fisher when we come back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Brewhouse South. This is Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mike Fisher alongside Braden Gall. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Again, game day specials every Preds game here at Brewhouse South. And speaking of Preds games, Mike, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you to work here. We're going to give away some tickets brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka to the November 21st game against the Vancouver Canucks. If you wouldn't mind doing the honors, Mr. Fisher.
Pamela Booth,
who is, I believe, sitting
there. She is
right here. So congratulations, Pamela Booth. I would say, this is where I normally would say, don't call us, we'll call you, Gina from promotions, but like, you're right here, so Gina will talk to you. And thank you guys for coming out. This is why you come out to Smashville Live. You win tickets. All right, I'm gonna sort of throw a couple of coworkers under the bus a little bit here, Mike, if that's all right with you. So Chase McCabe, the wonderful Chase McCabe, is wandering around here somewhere, also known as the Constable. There he is. Gina for Promotions is here as well. They are both single. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'd like to get your advice on.
Uh-oh.
Because these two are both single, and what I'd like to know is if you had an opportunity to meet a celebrity, how would you talk to that celebrity and convince them to date you? How would that go, since you are sort of an expert on the situation?
Well, you want to hear my first experience?
Absolutely, we want to hear
that. I had to go through meet and greet line like people did today. Because she said if you know, I turned out to be weird, she wouldn't have to, I'd be like, okay, just through the meet and greet and that's it. But luckily I passed the meet and greet test, I guess.
So,
but I was shaking like this and she's, no, I'm kidding.
How do you? But I mean, the key is keeping it normal, right? How do you make it a normal conversation? I mean, you're at the time you're sort of you're a famous person,
but a
public figure like that as well. How do you make it a normal conversation?
Well, I think you just treat that person the same as you treat anyone else, because that's, I mean, I'm from a small town and Carrie was from a small town, or that person, and just, I mean, just we're the same as anyone else. We have the same problems. We have the same, you know, things. Some things are different, obviously, sure. but it's, at the end of the day, it's, I don't know, celebrity or not, it's, yeah.
I just, you know, Chase has, he's been chasing Taylor Swift around for, like, years. You know, Gina, she has her own thing.
Okay, I got a Taylor Swift story. Well,
I got one
of my friends who is a really good guy, and I got him a Taylor Swift meet and greet. It didn't go so well. And he can talk to anyone.
So what happened?
He just, like, clammed up and said, I just told him to be normal, but he couldn't. But he's a guy that can talk to anyone, too. Never nervous, except for Taylor Swift.
Chase, welcome to the show. How are you doing, Chase?
I'm doing well. I heard my name, and I could kind of hear where I'm sitting, and I kept hearing my name come up. So.
Yeah, we're talking about you.
Well, that's good.
Do you think you would clam up if Mike got you a meet and greet with Taylor Swift?
Oh, no, I'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd be good to go, yeah.
Yeah, he's confident. He's confident.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Taylor Swift, we go way back. I'd be fine.
That's true. You guys did date a few times. I forgot about that.
We'd be good.
So you mentioned the normalcy, right? Like everybody's just people. You have two young kids, 4 years old and like
Isaiah's
four,
and Jacob is 9 months.
You're still in it, man.
Yeah, just like you. But I don't.
Yeah. Well, 18 months. My youngest is 18 months. She can walk and run around, mm-hmm. and she's like a little cat, so she never hits her head on anything. We're always like, and like she never does any. Like, it's amazing how she has the body control, but she can walk and move around and communicate with us. That's not the case at 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, that's true. But it's, I don't know. I missed the baby stage, though, when Isaiah got, you know, three and we didn't have Jacob for some reason. I mean, I loved it, and it keeps getting better. But
that's how you end up with a third one. You know that, right?
I hope so.
There you go. I didn't mean to break news on the show tonight. So your dad, we'll get into the hunting stuff again. Catchingdeers.com is the website for your apparel. You're avid outdoorsman. You love being out there, and your dad was a part of that. But is it the other side of your family? Is it your mom's side of the family?
So my mom's side of the family. Well? My dad used to hunt deer with my mom's brothers and you know, that side of the family, and that's when I first got introduced to hunting, was going to hunt camp about an hour north and deer hunting with my dad, and he bird hunted a little bit, but both my brothers and I are big, we love to hunt, and now we just went on an elk trip about 3 weeks ago, just my two brothers, my dad and I, and it's kind of a way now that we can, you know, just connect together and over something we love and enjoy the outdoors, and that's why the outdoors is so awesome.
Take us to the scene as a childhood. I mean, obviously now, you know, you do a million things in the most beautiful places in the world, but take us back to the original, like when you get started and you're in the outdoors, you're from a small town, and, you know, what does the scene look like? Like, explain to people that are living in Nashville and have never been to Canada, for example, that don't know what it feels and looks like. Sort of try to paint the picture for people that describe that experience.
Well, Canadian Shield is north of Peterborough, a little rockier, but there's it's hilly, but there's more swamps, there's more coniferous trees than you would see in parts here.
Sure.
Fall up there is the best in the world, in my opinion, because of all the maple trees, but great maple syrup, by the way. Some parts look similar, and I love the rolling hills of Middle Tennessee. You know, it's... I love it. But,
does it remind you?
Parts of it does, but there's different. So Peterborough and south, there's you know, farmland as well, and different kind of mixes of, you know, there's some areas, you know, outside Peterborough, the rolling hills, but it is pretty, way more lakes, though, where I'm from. There's, you know, Ontario's 250,000 lakes. People don't realize. You fly over Ontario, it is lakes everywhere, and some are big, small swamps. But that's what's different. Here, you don't have all the lakes. You know,
Minnesota's
but,
got nothing on you guys. They claim 10,000, right?
Yeah.
It's not even close.
No. Well, Ontario's massive, too.
Right, right.
But,
well, it's... So tell everybody about the apparel. How did that get started? I know the you know,
Your brother's, I guess the you always said he's the funny one. I guess is that.
Well,
how,
I didn't find Bud funny. He's my younger brother, 7 years younger. He's a goalie, a good goalie, and I didn't really find he's an annoying younger brother for most of the time. So I didn't really get his humor until Catching Deers came along, and then he created this alter ego of Rutt Daniels, and he's really really funny. And but
so your whole life you're like you're not that funny, dude.
No, he is funny though. He always has been. But so we started Catching Deers. We just had our 3 year anniversary, and one of our buddies, our partner Austin Castleman, came in to hunt camp. I have a hunt camp up in Kentucky, and he come in. He hadn't hunted. He just wanted to hang out. He knew nothing about hunting, and comes in, opens the door, and y'all catch anything? And we just like roll our eyes because every hunter had heard it, but or y'all catch any deers? And he pluralized deer. As deers, and he'll still so do that from time to time by default because I think his whole life he's pluralized deer with deers. But anyway,
no one ever told him, like, dude, it's not
no,
the plural.
He didn't. Anyway, so the next year, my brother, who was working for Austin, he has a manufacturing company that, so he made up these hats and would wear, and we're picking up these hats on our way to hunt camp the next year, and we're like, these are pretty, you know, they weren't good hats, but they were kind of, we're like, no, this, like, we're on the, so we locked down Instagram.
Cool. Like,
yeah, we locked down, you know, Facebook, all that. And then we were like, we need to create a funny video, which my brother did and wrote and created. And it kind of went viral, at least in the hunting community. And that's how we launched our brand. So it was not planned. And it just kind of one of those things that God was like, here you go. And it was perfect timing because it was I was leaving one passion right into another passion. And it was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, it's amazing how the world works out. That you get traded to Nashville, like the whole wavelength is working out pretty well. Yeah. I would say, man. Catching Deers is the website, catchingdeers.com. There is an S in there. Of course, the clay shoot, celebrity clay shoot coming up. Catching Deers, your clay shoot down there on the Cumberland. Tell everybody a little bit about that, and you know how they can get involved if they want to.
Yeah, on the Preds website, I think there's a team or two left that you can sign up. It's $2,500 a team, and you'll be paired with a celebrity, and you'll get at least 100 shots each, and see how many you can get. Keep your score. It's going to be fun. I've always enjoyed. I've done some put some teams in for the Tug McGraw shoot that was there for years.
Yeah.
So I did that every year, which I loved. I just wanted my buddies. We'd get some buddies together and go in it. So
what is your advice to somebody who wants to get into the hunting world? Like, let's say you're an avid outdoorsman. You enjoy hiking. You enjoy canoeing. Whatever. But you never really got into the hunting world. You've been a fisherman, let's say. Is it you start with the clay shooting, you go deer hunting? I'm partial to the duck world because it's a little more social.
I love duck hunting.
It's a little
duck
more social.
Duck hunting's awesome. I think for me, like, I just took a buddy last night up in Kentucky, first time, never hunted in his life. Took him deer hunting. And he got one, and he's hooked. Like, he loved it. It's just an experience that, and it's not about, my wife doesn't like hunting. She doesn't like, you know, killing animals, whatever. But for me, it's just in my blood. And it's what I grew up around, and I love it. I love being outdoors. Most of the time I don't shoot anything, but I go and I experience it. And there's a quietness of being in the woods, and it helps my relationship with God, seeing creation and being pointed towards the Creator. And we're always on our phones all the time. And it's a time sometimes you just get off your phone and it's just relax and quietness. And you can think, pray, do whatever. But it's kind of a reset that I've always loved. And I love being outdoors. So
I think that is a perfect way to wrap it all up and end this evening's show. I could not agree more. A long line of great writers and philosophers and historians. Mike Fisher, the next one. Go out and walk through the woods, folks. It's good for you. Mike, thank you so much, man. We do appreciate it. Everybody here at Smash for Life, thank you guys so much for coming out. It's been great to see you. Of course, our great sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Brewing Company. Yeehaw has game day specials on Preds games here at Brewhouse South. Mike Fisher, everybody. My name is Braden Gall. Thank you guys so much for listening to Smashville Live at Brewhouse South. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.